Wow, what a wonderful and perfect message, and what great messengers. Thank you to our praise team, and thank you to the praise team of the next generation we had just a moment of there. Praise God. Yeah, that's appropriate. You know, I always say it is so good to be here in Tulsa, but tonight it is especially so. Because it was one of those almost didn't make it things. A flight that I thought was going to go straight from Charlotte to Tulsa ended up going to Atlanta, and there was a layover, and there was a mechanical problem, and it was one of those moments where I thought, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. Made a call to Terry Rush, just left a voicemail saying, I'm sitting on the runway, we're going to be late, I believe I'll be there on time. God bless you, and hung up. Terry, who this year he told me a few minutes ago, he's just enjoying the workshop, and thanks to the hard work of the folks who are leading this, Shane and Jason, he said, I just called them and said, Jeff may not be there, God bless you, and then hung up on them. And so they in turn called Don McLaughlin and said, you may be on tonight, God bless you, and hung up on him. And Don, where are you? Don, I'm so looking forward to hearing you tomorrow, but where are you? Would you be willing to identify yourself? Where are you, Don? Are you sitting over there? Oh, he went to the restroom for just a minute. Okay. Well, that is embarrassing. Okay, for the rest of the workshop, whenever you see Don, just say, are you attending any of the lectures? But I saw him in the back a little bit ago, and I said, hey, Don, I'm here. And he went, oh, great, I wore a suit. So if you see Don in his suit, compliment him on that. Sometimes you get information you need too late. I can't help it. I heard it again the other day. The young man who was going to take a girl out on a date for the first time, so he swung by the candy store. You know this. When he walked in and said, I need 3 boxes of candy. I need a half a pound box, I need a pound box, and I need a 5 pound box. And the candy store owner said, wow, is this all for one girl? He said, yeah, it is, only she's only getting 1 box tonight. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, I finally got this hot chick to say yes to me on a date. And if things go really, really okay, I'll give her the half pound box. But if things go kind of well, then I'll give her the pound box. But man, if it's a hot date, I'm going to give her that 5 pound box of candy. And the man behind the counter said, that's kind of sick, son. And he said, whatever. He took his candy and left, went home, got himself cleaned up, drove over to the girl's house, knocked on the door. Her mother answered and said, she'll be right down. She came down, looked lovely. He said, good to meet you, ma'am. Thank you. Her father came in from the backyard, and the young man looked at him and shook his hand and said, you know, why don't we all have a prayer? And he bowed his head and prayed this beautiful prayer, just this gorgeous prayer, finished it and shook the father's hand and said, sir, I'll have her home early and safe. Thank you for letting me date your daughter. Walked out the front door after letting the girl go first. The mother was just like, oh, this is the boy we've been praying for. As they walked toward the car, the young lady, who was overwhelmed as well, said, wow, I had no idea you were such a devoted believer. He said, it's okay. I had no idea your father owned a candy store. So sometimes... sometimes there's information you wish you had sooner, you know what I mean? Oh, God has amazing ways of humbling us when he needs to. I preached a lesson recently, we called it Holy Tweet. In fact, praise God for Facebook and Twitter, and if you're not using those kind of things, let me encourage you. I believe if Jesus were here today, he would have a Facebook account, he would have a Twitter account, he'd be using every possible means to get the news out. Now, I know some say, well, there's a bunch of garbage on there. Yeah, there's garbage on the internet too, but that doesn't mean Christians shouldn't use it. Amen? So I'm at Preacher Walling, just Preacher Walling if you're a Twitter file. I became a twit last year and started using that. So if you follow, I'd be happy to have you do so. But, you know, there are times that the internet and YouTube and things like that can really be a pain. We did a sermon series just 2 week long called Holy Tweet, and really what we talked about is God's holy text message to us. It'd be exciting if you look down in your phone. I told our teenagers and get a text from Justin Bieber or from, you know, your favorite celebrity, but all of us got a text from God. And so we took 2 weeks had 66 tweets, one for each book of the Bible, 144 characters. That was a challenge, especially books like Song of Solomon. But we got 144 characters for each one of the books. But we put a 20-foot blackboard on stage. And kind of a mix of old school and new age, we tweeted all the books as I was teaching, and I drew on the blackboard, VBS style, the story of the Old and New Testament with the help of a graphic artist buddy who's at our church. Well, the second week, I was all the way to the right-hand side of the board, teaching about the book of Revelation, trying to finish on time, and something happened that got recorded, and I already ran into somebody here who says, "Oh, I saw that on YouTube." And naturally, the gal who does our video, she just couldn't resist. If you can go to the one that says Jeff's Revelation, I think. This is what happened right at the end of that lesson. Let's see if they got it here. They'll full screen it and make it happen. Out here on an island. And John is on this. He's all right. He's up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. John. And it's captured on video. John! She wanted you to see
John
it again.
John is on this island.
So watch what happens
here. I don't believe I just did that. John is on this island.
She put it there one more time. Yeah. 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 So, sometimes... Oh, let's read a text. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 3, shall we? NIV is going to be on your screen, but I like the way the New Living puts this, beginning in verse 9. Well then, are we law keepers any better than others? No, not at all. We've already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the Scriptures says, no one is good. Not even one. No one has real understanding. No one is seeking God. All have turned away from God. All have gone wrong. No one does good. Not even one. The text continues on the screen. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Who is that talking about? Who is the broken? You bow with me. Father, will you let your text speak to us? Thank you for Tulsa. Thank you for a place where we've gathered together for so many years, Father, and enjoyed the fellowship and enjoyed your word and enjoyed being challenged and praising. And tonight, God, I ask you to help us mine what it means to be people who proclaim good news to a broken world. Father, I pray for people tonight who are wrestling with their own brokenness. I praise you for the brother whose honesty allowed him to say that he was a broken person, but a person who's received Jesus Christ's love and healing. Father, I pray for those tonight who may need at the end of this lesson to say, I have got to admit my brokenness. I pray for those who have never given their heart and life to Jesus that maybe, Father, tonight will be a night they'll make that choice. But God, I know that we cannot grasp the good news until we fully embrace the bad news. So help us to do that. And thank you for Jesus, who loves us so. And in Christ's holy name, come Lord Jesus, we all pray and say, amen. I have this chair that I really, really, really love. Is that weird to say you love a chair? But my wife found this chair at a little place south of us, and it was the perfect office chair. It was kind of cool, and it had wheels on all four legs so I could move it around, and I could go from my computer to over to something else, and it was comfortable. Guys, do you know what I mean when you get finally a really comfortable chair? And it's one of those chairs that's gone with us from house to house and place to place. And I love this chair. And then the right front leg on it cracked. Now, of course, my 17-year-old son had comments about the reason my chair would crack. Dad, is that chair weight rated? He asked me. You know, you don't really need humility as long as you have teenagers at home. They will constantly remind you of your foibles and mistakes. My youngest son, who's still at home, a sophomore in high school, is always telling me. I fist bumped one of the kids in the lobby the other day, and he immediately pulled me aside. Dad, do not do that. I said, why? He said, do not try to be cool. Just don't try. It's embarrassing. I said, but he said, and nobody does woo this anymore, okay? I put on some jeans the other day on a Saturday, and my wife said, ooh, baby, those are old. And I said, yeah, you know what? I need to go down there and get me some of the new jeans. Hey, I might buy me some of them skinny jeans. And from the couch, I heard my son say, Dad, they don't have skinny jeans in your size. That would be an oxymoron. I thought, I got your moron right here, buddy. I'll tell you that. I said, Spence, the deal is not the weight. The deal is the chair just needs a little help. Just needs fixing. I'm a fixer. I don't know about you guys. Duct tape is my friend. What had happened is that the right leg had cracked a little bit, and that caused the little, casseter. That's not a casseter. What do they call that thing? Yeah, exactly. The little wheelie thing on the bottom of it to fall out. And so when it fell out and the chair kind of went over, I thought, oh, my goodness. Well, I put it back in and it kept falling out. So I knew what to do. At first, I went and got crazy glue. I just filled that little hole with crazy glue and stuffed that little wheelie thing right back in there. And sure enough, it held for about a week and a half. And then it came out. And when it came out, it bent. And then it cracked the chair even farther, that leg. Which means now I needed my carpenter's glue. So I went out and got my carpenter's glue, filled up that hole, wrapped a little duct tape around it, put that thing back in. That held for nearly a month. I was shocked when it cracked again. This time I went to Lowe's and talked to my buddy at Lowe's. He said, you ever use Gorilla Glue? I said, no, but I like it already. I got me a big container of Gorilla Glue. According to Gorilla Glue, it's the strongest adhesive on the earth. I packed that hole with Gorilla Glue. I popped that deal right back in there. I sat it upside down, put a sign on it, do not touch, Spencer, this means you. Left it for the 24 hours so it would cure. Turned that thing over and sat down. My chair was back again. 2.5 months. Not bad. Cracked again. I went back to my buddy at Lowe's and I said, man, I'm desperate now. He says, do you mean it? I said, yeah. He said, then you're ready for J.B. Weld. Some of you know what J.B. Weld is. I'd never been introduced to J.B. The man took me to a secret part of Lowe's, pulled off the shelf two little tubes that were in a package. He said, now you need to know you're going to squeeze one of these out and you're going to squeeze the other one out. And once you start mixing them together, mister, it's going to heat up. This stuff is like steel. Why, you could fix a radiator with this thing. One time I fixed a tractor with it. But he said, when you mix it together, you've only got about 3 minutes. And don't you think I'm joking with you, because after 3 minutes, this thing is hard as steel. Why, Jehovah himself couldn't break it apart. I didn't contest that right at the moment. I said, thank you very, very much. He took two of them down and said, you're going to need two. You're going to like this stuff. And sure enough, he's right. J.B. Weld will fix anything. I mean, I don't know what it's made of. It's a magical substance that when you mix it together. How many here have ever used? I'm just curious. Look at this. I'm in Oklahoma. You guys know what J.B. Weld is. I mixed this stuff together, and being a city kid, I was stunned. I mean, it hardened up. And that little wheelie thing was just perfect. I stood on the chair. I called Spencer in. Look at this, buddy. He said, Dad, you're tempting the Lord. Don't do that. I said, give me a break. This is J.B. Weld. And when I hit it that last time, the J.B. Weld held, but it cracked the wood of the leg all the way. Catherine came running in, hearing me hit the floor. Are you okay? Are you okay? Spencer is choking, dying, laughing. And my wife spoke the words I didn't want to hear. Honey, it's time for you to what? Yeah. It's time for you to admit you can't fix that. It's time for you to give up. It's time for you to simply say, this is a broken thing and you can't fix it. Now, I talked to a couple of my friends at church. I even went back to my buddy at Lowe's. He said, brother, if JB don't do it, it's gone. It's a hard thing to admit you can't fix something, especially if you think you're a pretty good fixer. I have this world I really, really love. Is it weird to say that? I really do. Blue skies in spring, flowers budding this time of year in Charlotte, kids growing up. Just the joy of the beautiful world, of the kids we saw ringed around this room a little bit ago, or those who are singing here. Just the joy of the world. I really, really love it. but it's cracked. It's broken. And sadly, I'm always surprised when it cracks. Maybe you are too. I sit and stare at the television set when I hear that a soldier may have been responsible for murdering innocent people. You say, oh, there's no such thing as innocent people. All right, let's be real. For murdering, one broken person murdered a bunch of other broken people, if you want to put it that way. And I'm not trying to dog this particular fella, because I've read about mothers who drowned their children and fathers who abused their kids and men who were supposedly men of the cloth who abused those people they had power over. And I read about marriages being torn asunder, and whether it's the celebrities that I can say, oh, brother, look at that, or it's the people down the pew from me that break my heart, and I'm shocked when it cracks. And so I try Gorilla Glue and carpenter's glue, and maybe even get out some JB Weld. I think maybe technology will fix it. If we were just able to get them enough information, if we could just get the Bible in enough languages, if we could just communicate properly, or maybe if we had the right government, if everybody in the world was somehow just democratic, if we could spread our form of government around, or if we could get the right candidate in the governor's house or the right person in the White House, if we could just get the right community to live in, then it would be okay. Hand me that JB Weld. I'll fix this thing. But as soon as somebody puts some weight on it, it cracks again. And you and I fall on the floor shocked. I can't believe that. With all the things that we've done, with all of the power, with all of the technology, maybe what we just need is a better phone, a better iPad, a new one. I nearly got my wife Siri. For those of you who may not know, Apple finally came out with this phone, iPhone 4, you can simply speak to it, and this woman will answer all the questions of life. You can be driving along somewhere, just pick up your phone and say, where's good Chinese food close to here? And she'll say, there are three places you might like, and then list them for you. I read the other day that some people were very uncomfortable with a woman's voice giving them instructions, and so next year Apple is bringing out Bob, the male version of that. And it's artificial intelligence. So if it hears a woman say, for instance, you know, where's the closest Japanese food? Bob will say, just a minute, let me turn down the TV. I didn't hear. What'd you say? Or if she says, where's the nearest drugstore? Bob says, why do you need to go to the drugstore? Well, I just want to get some makeup. Oh, honey, you look good. You don't need any makeup. Why don't you just go downstairs instead? Hey, would you bring me up a beer when you come back? Why is it that I'm surprised when the technology or the government or the candidate or the law doesn't fix it? Why do I find myself flat-footed when I find my own state, North Carolina, is about to vote on May 8th about whether or not marriage is between a man and a woman or marriage is between two women or two men? How can it be? That's just amazing. And there I am laying on the floor again, shocked that it cracked. Brothers and sisters, we need to stop being surprised, because the Bible tells us we live in a cracked world. Amen. John chapter 1. John begins his gospel by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that's been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. But the light shines in the darkness. Can you read the last line with me? But the darkness has not understood it. Father, forgive them, for they are clueless, was a version of Jesus' prayer on the cross. He says, look around the world. Do you really think you ought to expect this world not to be cracked and broken, and you think by grabbing a little JB Weld, you can just shove it up in there and make everything all right? Sometimes we think we kind of get it fixed. And we're thrilled when we see something good. Oh, did you read this good story in the newspaper? A gentleman down in Georgia went through a Kentucky Fried Chicken, bought a bucket of chicken for he and his girlfriend to go out and have a picnic together. As they pulled out and drove off, they got all the way to the park, spread out the blanket, snuggled up together, and opened the bucket. There was no chicken in the bucket. Instead, there was $868 plus receipts from the night previous's business. They'd given him the wrong bucket. But the man immediately said, oh, we can't keep this. Put the lid on it. He and the lady got in the car. They drove back to the Kentucky Fried, and he pulled up again to the drive-through window. And he said to the girl, "Ma'am, we were through here a little earlier, but you gave us a bucket and there's no chicken in it." And she said, "What?" And she opened it and screamed. For the last 20 minutes, the manager and her had been frantically looking for this bucket. The manager came rushing to the window when he told her. He said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." He said, "Oh, please, what can we do for you?" He said, "I just want a bucket of chicken. That's fine." He said, "You can have 2, 3. How many buckets do you want?" And the fella said, "It's no big deal. Just the one bucket is fine." He said, "Hey, wait a minute." And he grabbed his phone and he said, "Let me take your picture. Because you know what? My sister works in a newspaper. And I told Sally, nobody's ever going to bring that bucket back. But you are a man. I tell you, we want to get your picture. You're a godly man. I want to put this on the paper." And he just held up his hand and said, "Hey, you don't need to do that." He said, "No, let me take your picture." He said, "No, really, let me take it." He finally grabbed the phone and said, "The lady I'm with is not my wife." What's wrong with that picture? Isn't it amazing that we think, "Oh, look, we found something really good. The world is fixed. Somebody put some JB Weld and it's stuck." And then we turn around and say, "Oh, man, cracked again." I believe that one of the reasons that some folks find it so difficult to find a place in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is because we keep being shocked whenever anybody else is cracked. And we keep thinking that the JB Weld we've stuffed in our cracks is fooling the rest of them, and it ain't. You know you're sitting next to crack folks, right? We're crack addicts, for that matter. Take a look at the person. I mean, don't look right at them, but just cut your eyes around. Just kind of sneak a look. Can you see what I'm talking about? That J.B. Weld all over them. I have to come to a place where I say, I cannot fix this world with anything made of this world. Amen. There is no Gorilla Glue. There is no J.B. Well. There's nothing that's going to mend this world that I can lay my hands on. And so someone says, I know what the theme of this lesson is. What we need to do is if we just get people to go to church, if we can just get people into church, then that'll fix them. I have this church I really, really, really love. Is that weird to say? I do love the Lord's church. I love the place where I serve. But it's cracked. And it's broken. You say, wait a minute, the church? Please. Let's not even play the game. God's church is perfect in Jesus Christ. But it is not perfect in you and I here on this planet. We are a broken church. That's why the fastest growing Time magazine in their recent article, it's one every preacher needs to read on 10 things that are changing America. Time magazine, about number 4 or number 3 is that the fastest growing religious group in America are the nuns. And I don't mean N-U-N, I mean N-O-N-E. The people who say, my religion, none. It's growing faster than any other group. The article goes on to talk about a group that meets down at the beach. Because people are still looking for community, but they think the church is so cracked that they're looking for something else. So there's a group that meets called Not a Church. That's what they call themselves, Not a Church. They get together to share in their problems and pray for one another and try and be supportive of one another and encourage each other. And they call it Not a Church. Now, of course, I go, wait a minute, hold it. Who are you trying to kid? And they say it right back to me. Who are you trying to kid? If you're trying to tell me, Jeff, that all the world's problems would be handled if people were just in church, that we wouldn't have difficulties, we wouldn't have divorce, we wouldn't have problems. Anybody read recently about the declining numbers even within our own movement that the Christian Chronicle chronicled? About the decline in churches of Christ and the number of churches that have closed even in the last 10 years. So I know what I do. I grab my duct tape and J.B. Weld. We'll just use home groups instead. All that brick and mortar stuff. Or we'll change our worship style. Or we'll do it online. We'll be missional instead of attractional. Or we'll be attractional instead of missional. We'll be mega. No, we'll be meta. We'll find a way to do it differently enough to put some JB Weld and super glue and duct tape. And it might hold for a little bit. And then it cracks again. Now, at this point in the lesson, I wouldn't blame you for saying, man, thank you for bringing us such a wonderful word of encouragement. And let me speak to those who say, you're right, just like that chair, the church is cracked and we just need to throw it out. Augustine, here's an Augustine quote that I heard recently that troubled me and blessed me. Augustine said, the church is a prostitute and she is my mother. The church is a prostitute, and she is my mother. The church is unfaithful. You say, wait a minute, are you saying we've got it wrong? No, no, no. I'm saying you and I are not faithful lovers of Jesus. We just can't do it right. We cheat on him. Can everybody give me an oh yeah on that? You know what I'm saying? Some are saying, well, wait a minute, I don't cheat on the Lord. Please. Let us at least at a place where we're here among friends pause and say there is no one righteous. No, not one. None of us are perfect. None of us are going to get to heaven and have Jesus unroll the scroll and say, wow, enter ye in. Jeff Walling, man, I'm impressed. Look at this. You spoke at Tulsa. Come on down. If anything, he's going to unroll my scroll and say, you did that, you did that, you did that. Yes, sir. And you didn't do that, you didn't do that. Yes, sir. Well, what in the world thinks you ought to come in here? I have nothing with which to claim heaven other than the grace of God given to me. For it is a righteousness not earned by me or earned by you. If you're applauding God's righteousness and God's grace and the gift that he gives us, when in Romans he says, here, let me show it to you. Let me tell you. There is a righteousness that comes not from what we do, not from our own J.B. Weld or our own ability to try and fix it. Yes. Yes, yes. I am a broken, fallen sinner. I'm mean when I should be sweet. I'm cranky when I should be kind. I'm impatient when I should have the grace of God flowing in my veins. And it can happen like that. I've told before of going in and finding my young son walking down the hallway. We've had trouble him going to bed. I mean, he gets in bed, but he leaves the light on and he reads and, you know, looks at stuff and gets on the internet, and I walked by his room and the light was on. It's nearly midnight. He should have had the light off nearly 2 hours ago. Man, I bust in there ready to catch him, and he's asleep with the light on, with his glasses on, with a book open. I rushed over there and found that the book was the mission journal that he was working on in preparation for a mission trip. He fell asleep reading scripture. It's just one of those moments you just think you want to put it in plastic. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I took off his reading glasses, folded up the book. As I did so, he woke up. Dad, what are you doing? And I said, buddy, you were reading in bed. I mean, it's good what you were reading, but you know, when you go to sleep and you leave your glasses on, it messes up the side. Now Mama's going to have to take them back to Costco because you know they get messed up. You shouldn't do that. Oh, Dad, okay. Can I have a glass of water? No, you don't need a glass of water. You're already supposed to be asleep. You can have all the water you want tomorrow. Roll over and go to bed. What happened? One minute I'd give the kid my lung. The next minute I won't give him a glass of water. What's wrong with this picture? I'm not a consistent lover. I go up and I go down. I am broken just like the church. Yes, the church is a prostitute. But brothers and sisters, the church is my mother. I wouldn't have the Bible were it not for God's church and the people who have preserved it, translated it, and printed it through the years. Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ is why you and I know about Jesus. It was passed down to us by people who followed the Lord. And it was God's church on the face of the earth that brought us everything from hospitals to orphanages to the civil rights movement. It is the church that has been at the forefront of so much good in society. So when somebody says, well, just throw it out. No, 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 no. I am called to live with a cracked and broken body of Christ until Jesus makes it whole one day. Now, this is the challenge of our workshop this year. Because the theme of good news to a broken world may sound like we've got it all together, and as soon as you come join us, as soon as you repent, confess, and are baptized, then you'll have it all together too, and we can go out looking for more jerks who don't have it all together and bring them in to become part of us. I'm afraid that's my thinking. Maybe it's not yours. But what God calls on us to do is to say to the world, you're broken, us too. You're sinners, we are too. What's the difference, they call? We've got hope because of a righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul puts it this way. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle, he says. Take a look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I don't even deserve to be called an apostle, he says in verse 3. For I am the least of the apostles. Don't even deserve to be called that because I persecuted the church of God. I love this sentence. Read it with me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. Paul offers us the ability to say, I don't have any secrets. I can tell it all. I'm no longer shocked. I no longer hide. For we are only as sick as our secrets. So how do we respond to a broken world? By confessing our own brokenness and pointing them towards a new way and a new Lord and a new hope. It is not a license to live cracked and say it doesn't matter. It is a call to live in grace, a way to see past it. I have this elderly lady at my church whom I really, really, really love. Is that weird to say? Her name is Jerry Oakley. She was in the hospital yesterday and the day before and the day before because the little pig valve that they've put in her heart is giving out. She unfortunately is not a candidate for arthroscopic surgery. And at her age, I won't tell you how much, but it's between 80 and 90, cracking open her chest is not really something the doctors are excited about. And when we got the news about that, the collective heart of our church broke. No! Miss Jerry's so vital, so she's just, oh! So I went to the hospital to see her this morning. And when I got there, she was gone. It's a weird feeling. Walk into the room. Bed's already made for somebody else. I turned back around and hustled down the hallway. And a nurse said, you looking for Miss Jerry? Yes. What? She said, she went home today. She said, but the doctors are going to call her next week and they think they're probably going to need to get her. What? She said, well, she just talked us into letting her go home. She said, you know she's a Christian? I said, yes, I know she's a Christian. She said, this little lady has been testifying to all of us. Because, you know, we were kind of sweating what was going on with her. And so she kept saying, well, I'm ready to die. How about you? She says, it's okay if I go tonight because I'm going to meet Jesus. Miss Jerry was in there testifying. I got my cell phone out. I called up. She answered. Miss Jerry, what are you doing? She says, I'm at home. Where are you? I said, I'm in the hospital. Oh, yeah, I'm not there. She said, yeah, I got a stay of execution, it sounds like. They think they might have something. They adjusted my medication. I felt a whole lot better. And I said, well, I may as well go home if you're not going to be able to help me. She said, doctors are going to get together next week and try and figure something out. And I said, oh, Miss Jerry. She said, no, I've been telling all of them. I'm ready to go. I mean, you know, I got stuff I'd like to do, sure, but I'm ready to go. Miss Jerry's heart cannot be fixed, but Miss Jerry is healed. Brothers and sisters, we will never be able to fix the church. And we can't fix the world, no more than I can fix my chair. But what we can do is we can say, God, will you receive broken us? And He says, yes. If you'll stop trying to fix yourself, why don't you just let me forgive and heal you? Taylor Storch was 13 years old when she smashed into a tree on a ski trip and died. Well, she didn't actually die right away. They were able to keep her alive long enough for her parents to agree for her heart to be donated. The sweet 13-year-old girl's heart was donated to a lady whose heart was failing. Relatively young lady, a nurse actually, in Phoenix, Arizona. And about a month or so after the operation, Taylor's mom, Tara, began to wonder where her daughter's heart was. Oddly enough, the lady who had received her heart had done a little internet search and had seen a video about a 13-year-old. She knew it was a 13-year-old girl. She knew it was a girl. That's all they told her. Who had died, and she looked at the dates, and she realized this was probably her heart. And as the two began to find out about each other, Tara Storch called the lady who has her daughter's heart and said, could I meet you? Their meeting is a metaphor you need to see. So before we close, let me let you, through video, meet Tara and her daughter's heart recipient.
Sunrise over the Phoenix suburbs. Todd and Tara Storch are here to continue the mission they began in March, the day their daughter Taylor, just 13, died in a Colorado ski accident. the day they decided to donate her organs. It's the thing that's been on Tara's mind since day one.
Hearing Taylor's heartbeat. That's really what I've wanted since the very beginning, is to find who has her heart and have a connection with that person.
That person is Patricia Winters, married to Joe. She's a nurse at age 40, just 1 year younger than Tara. And they're both now raising two children. Her heart started failing 5 years ago after the birth of her second son.
I felt like I wasn't going to last very long. I was sleeping pretty much 18 hours a day and could hardly really do anything other than lay in bed. It was pretty pathetic.
She was too weak to take care of her boys. Taylor's heart lets her be mom again. Transplant alliances are cautious about telling recipients who their donors are. But using the internet, friends figured it out in just hours. And that still troubles Patricia.
Well, knowing that she was 13, I mean, right, that within itself was hard. But seeing Taylor's picture and then in a few days looking at the YouTubes and all that stuff, it was just, it just gave me that sinking feeling even more.
Online, she followed the Storcher story on taylorsgift.org. That's the website of the foundation Todd started to encourage organ donations. There she saw a link to our story.
I can't wait till I'm able to hug the person that has her heart.
That encouraged Patricia to reach out. By email, the two moms built a special bond.
Tara and Patricia have been texting and emailing. They had their first conversation a day or two ago on the phone.
Both couples faced the meeting excited yet nervous.
I think it'll be good. I really do.
It will be. Yeah. It'll be tough, but it'll be good.
The Storches finally pull up at Patricia's door. The moms hug, heart to heart, for almost a minute. Then Todd joins them for a minute more.
You know, I know this is, we should probably talk, but I need to hear her.
Patricia retrieves her nurse's stethoscope.
This goes around your ears like that. I cleaned it, okay? Tell me if you can hear it.
It's so strong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She is very strong.
I want him to hear it.
It is the sound of life itself. It is Taylor's gift.
I am so sorry. Oh, and I thank you at the same time.
I'm so glad you're good.
When I look at my life with the cracks and the places I've tried to mend, I think, how in the world can he heal me? But when God places his heart, when God places his ear to my chest, it's Christ's heartbeat that he hears. I have this God I really, really, really love. I just don't always live like it. And he wants so desperately to give you a heart transplant. All the rest of you is still going to be broken and cracked. But first, if you're here and you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, wouldn't you like a brand new heart? Wouldn't you like that healing grace that says, I don't have to hide my mistakes. I don't have to lie in fig leaf and cover. I just say, here I am, a sinner saved by grace. Whether you're 13 or 63, if you've never been baptized into Christ, we want you to know that we would love to help you tonight with that choice. But let's be honest, the vast majority of the folks in this auditorium, how many baptized believers have we got here? All right, if you don't own up in here, you're toast out there. All right. All those folks who just raised their hand, can I ask you a really personal question? Can I just kind of get up in your business as we finish? Have you been trying to fix it on your own? Have you been duct taping and JB welding and super gluing and gorilla gluing so that nobody would notice the cracks? Have you painted over it? Have you spackled it? Have you put the new coat so that nobody sees? And then it cracks again. Maybe it's time you just come and say, you know what? I need to give up this desire, this addiction to looking good. And what I need to do is say, Father, here's who I am. I want to just receive your healing grace. If you're trying to work your way to heaven, you are worn out tonight. Maybe it's time to decide that Jesus did the work, because grace will motivate you so much farther than duty ever will. Maybe you're here tonight thinking, I've just got a burden. There are folks who are ready, prayer counselors ready to pray with you. But tonight, you get to make the decision. Is it another round of duct tape and J.B. Weld? Or is it time for you just to say, I give up. God, I bring it to you. Will you bow with me? Father, as we sing this invitation song, I just ask, Lord, that any who are here who have been using that spiritual adhesive trying to fix the broken places instead of just trusting you, that they would take this moment while the group leads us in song, they would take this moment just to say, Lord, I'm yours. Forgive me. I accept your healing. I accept your grace. Father, whether they need to come and be baptized into Christ or just need to come and say, I need to begin again, may this moment be a moment of heart transplant right here. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. We pray that in Christ's holy name, and all that agree say, Amen. Don't go out of here trying to patch the cracks. Let's spend the rest of this workshop simply enjoying and saying, my God has healed me. If you have need, then while we stand and while we sing, the front row is a place for you. Won't you come? Won't you come right now?